This is Gaten the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it. Welcome back to Gaten the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today as usual, and in today's episode we are looking at the anime OPs of 2019. These are probably my top picks for my sort of favorite anime OPs. Obviously, these are in my subjective opinion, but this selection, as well as the honorable mentions as that will come in within today's episode, are the ones that I have found arguably the best to me and my musical taste. If you haven't listened to any of the OPs in today's episode, or if there are one or two that you haven't listened to, check out the show notes where those will be included. So there's not much to say for today's intro, let's just get right into today's episode. That is episode 21 of Gaten the Mecha. I was considering making this one of those sort of bog standard anime 2019 reviews, and although there's nothing wrong with that, I'm happy with making one of those. But one thing I wanted to do is not only just be the hipster I am, but also I wanted to celebrate music in anime and also just have a bit more fun, because I can get really caught up in analysis, so this is going to be a bit more of a chill episode, just looking casually at some of the OPs that I think made up this year. We're not going to be getting too deep into big themes or anything like that, just looking at the visuals, looking at or listening to the music and just having a good time with it. So if anything, think of this kind of like a Link the VA segment that we usually do on the show, but only for music. And with that being said, let's just get right into the music, because there are quite a few on my list. If I count properly on my phone, we have 7 top OPs and we have 6 honorable mentions. So that's quite a few for this episode. We'll be looking at 13 openings. That's quite a lot. So I'm going to have to get my head around this. Anyway, as I'm complaining about how much time we have, let's just get right into the openings. The first opening is a classic. It's the one that I put on the thumbnail if you're coming here from Twitter. That is Fighting God by Coda, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, opening for Golden Wind. This opening, I kind of want to say, is one of my favorites of the year. Okay, technically JoJo's Bizarre Adventure did not come out this year in terms of Golden Wind, but I felt like I had to include this just because, one, JJBA, or Golden Wind in particular, was a 39 episode series, if I'm not wrong. It was definitely over the average length, so it kind of spilled into the other seasons. And it's JoJo's, come on, there's so much culture that comes from JoJo's in terms of meme culture. So I kind of had to include this because the JoJo jokes still haven't stopped on YouTube, and I therefore have a moral obligation to keep up the JoJo's wave until the part 6 announcement. I like quite a few things about this OP, one of them being just the pace of everything. It sort of builds up to that one fighting gold line I'm probably not going to sing ever again on the podcast. It all links to that one part, and then it sort of goes down, not down in a bad way, but sort of it, that is the apex of the song. And then also visuals are very sort of artistic. That's a very bad way to define visuals. The visuals look kind of simple, but kind of complex at the same time. It mixes the sprites between sort of block colors and also their main sort of form. They're coming in and out of the camera. The stands are coming right into our face. It's probably one of my favorite JoJo's OPs besides all of them, because there are a lot of good JoJo's OPs. There's Sonochi no Saname, there's Crazy Noisy Bizarre Town, there's obviously the Battle Tendency song, so that is Bloody Stream. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and openings and music as a whole. On that note, shout out to Jono's theme. Jono's theme, I think, has made my year, or at least these few months, very enjoyable. I don't watch JoJo's, let's get that straight, but I just love the culture that comes out of it. It feels so refreshing that there's a community, or at least a medium, not even a medium, but a piece of media that just doesn't take itself seriously at all, and loads of memes come out of it. also Coda deserves so much credit for always bringing some really amazing sort of vocals and just a great vibe to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I would maybe include Jono's theme in the list, although that's kind of cheating because it's not an OP. I feel like Jono's theme could replace Fighting Gold. I said something similar to this in the promo review episode last week. Maybe. Maybe not completely, but I feel like Jono's theme is the secondary OP to Golden Wind. So moving on, my second one is one that I've actually watched, and that will be Vinland Saga's first OP, Mukanjo by Survive Said the Prophet. Again, this isn't a ranked OP sort of look. This isn't a tier list or anything. This is just a compilation of all the ones that I like. Mukanjo, I would say, is definitely in the upper echelons. So firstly, from a visual perspective, we have some brilliant camera angles. These are some of the most amazing camera angles I've seen in a long time. The camera angles coming in on Thorfinn, not only on the boat, but also when you see him running through the village or the town or whatever you want to call it. Also, when sort of the Aurora Borealis or the Northern Lights come through, the camera weaves in and out. Wit knows how to move a camera, and the guys over there are doing insane work to do so. Also, just the heavy metal theme, I'm very happy when it comes to that. I like rock themes preferably. Obviously, as we get further into today's episode, you'll find out that there are quite a few OPs that I like that aren't particularly rock-based. But Vinland's OP, it's more on the extreme side of rock, so it's metal. I'm not a metal expert, so I don't know what type of metal, but it's definitely metal. I don't know if it's death metal or not. It's quite hardcore, it's quite head-on, but I think that's kind of what Vinland's all about. It's about getting muddy, getting gritty, all about the melee combat. I think that mirrors it quite nicely. Honestly, I am a bigger fan of the full version. I don't know if you've listened to that. I enjoy the 4-minute version more because the way they cut it off, it kind of ends a bit abruptly because it goes sort of into the transition part of the song and then it goes right to screaming, which is the end. It kind of messes me up a bit, but I really do like this opening either way. And speaking of rock openings, let's go right to the next one, and that is Black Clover opening 7. I don't watch Black Clover, but I do really like this opening. This song is Just Studies by Seigo Omori. The reason why I do like this opening is it feels so rash. It doesn't feel like a song. That's not a good description at all. It has a good rhythm to it, but it's one that feels arbitrary. It doesn't feel stuck in one place. It's always on the go. It feels wild. Almost like how I listen to a TK song. I've been listening to a lot of TK. I think I'll talk about that a bit in the indie moment segment. But on that note, Seigo Omori, I just listened to a bit more of her music, and there's a lot of variety between it. I wouldn't call this, from what I've heard, I haven't listened to much, I'll be honest, but from what I've heard, it doesn't feel like a very typical Seigo Omori song, especially how the song does get pretty rough towards the middle and end, with that sort of raging Black Clover sort of sound. But that's probably one of my favorite parts. I love rocking out to the song. It feels really rough and arbitrary. The visuals are quite nice. Not my favorite out of all of them that I've looked at so far, but it is still, versus the OPs of this year, visually this does fall under one of my favorites. I'm really a big fan of the parts when Yuno and Asta sort of collide with the sort of fist pump, or they kind of look at each other. I don't even know if they do fist pump. I do really like that bit. It's just sort of the binary opposite feel, but the thing is, they're not truly binary opposites because, in fact, they're sort of one force, the one collective force to be reckoned with, which adds a nice sort of feel to it. It's not always opposition and preaching disunity. It's one that preaches unity, actually. A general comment on the Black Clover OPs is just, I don't know enough to know whether this is a thing. Maybe someone can tell me, I'm not too sure, but I really am a fan of how they put, for Black Clover openings, they put the chapter or the episode number in the middle of the OP. That helps so much. I find that so much more streamlined than having an episode number sort of pop up in the middle of the episode or sort of on the side. Some shows don't even do that, But when it comes to battle shonens, I know they like to catalog things quite a lot. And Black Clover does that really well, which that is extra marks for Black Clover right there. I did a bit of a rewatch because obviously I'm talking about these on today's podcast, and I've sort of just rewatched the OP, and there's a lot going on. I like that. I made a whole episode talking about Nakashima and how I like how he just throws things in. This isn't particularly an example of throwing things in for the sake of it, but the Black Clover 7th OP has a lot going on. You have letterboxing, you have this different sort of mosaic kind of style. You have all these quick cuts and transitions and jumps between the different shots of like the mosaics and everything. It's quite high octane. I think that matches the battle shonen mood quite well. Again, I don't really know what's going on in Black Clover this time of the anime. However, I'm very happy with this. I'm quite content that something like this exists, even if I'm not watching the show and even if I don't watch the show. I don't know whether I'll watch Black Clover or not, but if I am, it'll probably be because of this OP as well as Black Rover. Let's do one more OP before we go to the honorable mentions section, where I talk about the ones that didn't particularly make my upper echelons list, but are still really good for a variety of reasons. This next OP, some people might not like this one, but I do. This OP is Gotobu no Kimochi by the Nakano sisters, being the voice actors of the quintessential quintuplets, being the anime which I'm referring to. The Quints has been an amazing harem. I'm just going to slap that down. One of the best harems I've watched. There are quite a few harems that I like anyway, because I'm quite the harem fan, not going to lie. But the Nakano sisters, or the voice actors behind this one, I'm not going to go through all of them, because I think I will eventually have a Quints episode where we can sort of showcase all of them. However, they bring a lovely and cute vibe to this opening. The special thing about this opening that I just touched on is the fact that it is voice acted, or it's sung by the voice actors of the sisters. That obviously fits the show quite nicely, because it's about the synergy between the sisters, and although yes, the romantic competition element between all of them towards Futaro, our harem protagonist, it has this nice cohesive vibe to it. It doesn't feel as if the competition or the romantic competition is there. If you want to learn more a bit about the sort of romantic competition thing that I'm talking about, be sure to check out my Why Harem Isn't Dead episode. I think that's episode 13, something like that. Be sure to check that out. The romantic competition, or that competitive vibe, obviously that won't particularly show in an OP, but it's like this masks it completely. It feels so wholesome. You wouldn't expect a show like this to be whipping out crazy levels of fan service. And it doesn't, because that's one thing that I love about this show. I even said that in that episode as well. Quince keeps it wholesome, and this OP does exactly that, which is why I think it stood out versus a lot of the OPs this year. It's not one that feels, okay, Bakuben aside, I'm going to talk about the honorable mentions, just spoilers for that. I've already spoiled like one show in my honorable mentions section. Anyway, this is the OP we needed. This is the OP that is saving anime with its amazingly wholesome voice, soothing, cute. This is what harem anime should, or not always, because some harem is nice and fanservice-y, okay? I'll admit. But this is what anime has needed for a long time. Quince brings that right into the forefront and has saved the winter season and 2019 anime OPs. On that note, let's go to the fake length of EA segment. In fact, this time it's masked as the honorable mentions section. So let's go to that for this week. Honorable mentions. I have quite a few here, some being for different reasons, some being here because not because I don't like them, as I like almost all the OPs that I'm talking about in today's podcast. It's just some of them I can't put into the show because they don't count as openings per se, or I've rinsed them out, or maybe they're just not as good as the ones that I put in my list. Again, all in my subjective opinion. First one is Attack on Titan OP5. I know I made a whole episode praising it, and that's the reason why. I like this OP a lot. It has a lot of symbolism. It's very relevant to the show. Again, I'm a complete fan of it. If you want to know more about this, sorry I'm referring to episodes so much today, but if you do, then that is episode 12, The Song of Battle. I did a whole breakdown of it. That's why I like it, but I'm kind of tired of it. I think I listened to this opening so many times to the extent where I kind of just don't want to listen to it anymore, and that's not because I don't like it. I think if I do listen to it again, I'll enjoy it. I haven't listened to Attack on Titan OPs basically since the series and my analyses have ended. I'm not bored of Shingeki or the OP or the music because they do that very well. That's probably one of the strong suits of Attack on Titan in my opinion. But this OP, I'm just a bit bored of that. That's it. I'm sure that I'll be reinvigorated later to watch it and listen to it again. Second one, Fire Force OP1. I kind of feel bad putting this in here. I think it should be in the main one. Reason for it, I haven't watched much of the show, if not any of it at all. That's not a bias towards it or against it even. I'm just not really feeling watching the show as of yet. I think I need to gain a greater sort of conceptual understanding of the show first before I then judge its OP. But on that note, I do love this OP because of that sort of band feel to it. There's one thing that I really like about Battle Shonens, and that is this band home feel to it. So if we take some of the earlier Naruto original, not Shippuden, sort of the even a bit in Shippuden, but if we go back to the original Naruto 2002 series, a lot of openings were based around these bands, like, okay, not particularly in that Naruto, but in Naruto as a whole, take Flo, take Hanabun, those sort of bands I really am a fan of, and that has been incorporated a lot, not only even in the Fire Force OP, but in a lot of the OPs of this year. So again, Black Clover OP7, for example, Dororo OP2, which is one I'm going to talk about basically next. So that was Agent Kung Fu Generation. Those are the things that I like. It has an authenticity to it. It doesn't feel sort of overly processed and over the top and overdone. It feels like I'm crashing watching anime like I'm 12 or like 15 again. Not everyone would like that. And not everyone feels that at all. But that is how I feel when I listen to these band type OPs. Moving on swiftly, Dororo OP2, as I said, kind of the same point by Asian Kung Fu Generation, one of my favorite sort of bands, mostly after, say, Blood Circulator, after Shippuden. I listened to that a ton. I still do listen to it a ton. I don't think Dororo OP2 got as much credit as its first opening. I don't know why that's the case. Maybe just I heard that the production values sort of slid when it came to the second half of Dororo, which is a bit of a shame, but I do think this OP deserves a lot of credit. The OP as a whole has a lot of consistency. It has that, similarly to Blood Circulator, I find this sort of like a modern rendition of Blood Circulator. I'm making it like Naruto Shippuden's years old. It's not really a relic now, but you know what I'm trying to say. Dororo OP2 has a similar sort of consistency to it. Just like Fighting Gold, it sort of builds up to that point and then battle. Things get exciting, showing the struggle between the characters, showing the struggle between enemies, and then we conclude. Same sort of vibe or same sort of pacing going through it. It's a really easy formula to tap into, I think, and it works almost every time. And I'll continue this sort of action theme, so we'll talk a bit slightly about Sword Art Online Alicization, War of the Underworld OP1 being Resolution by Haruka Tomatsu. This OP, it has that same band feel. I feel like I'm going to say band feel a lot through today's episode. But also another thing is that I think they hit the nail on the head here in terms of this is the Alicization arc, and I haven't watched SAO yet. This is making me want to watch SAO a bit more, but from what I know about it, I kind of do appreciate how this character Alice, or Alice Synthesis 30 Zuberg, whatever her name is, I'm sorry, I'm not in the know when it comes to the show, but it's really cool how they've centered this around this character, and they've probably done it for other OPs, but I feel like that marks this transition from what seemed to be Kirito's boring story about how he got out of Sword Art Online, maybe not boring, but this epic quest. Yeah, let's rephrase that. So Kirito's amazing quest of how he got out of this epic Sword Art Online game is now turned into this is Alice's look or lens through Sword Art Online, as a different nuance to it, which I can appreciate from this OP. And by the way, I'm not dissing SAO. I just tried to be funny for the first time. I'm not very funny though. One cool thing about this OP, I don't know if it's cool, but it's a thing when it comes to, again, this sort of battle shonen-esque genre. This is sort of the Isekai hybrid edition of that. But it's how they try to incorporate a reel of showing all the characters in about one or two shots. This happened in Black Clover. This happened here. It happens in a lot of this sort of genre. It happens in Boruto, Naruto, everything. At the beginning, they sort of have not a slideshow per se, but it's that one shot showcasing sort of every main-ish character that you can think of on the screen, just preparing them so you know at least that they exist. I don't know whether I appreciate it or it's a bit of a boring thing as of now, because it's kind of getting a bit old. This has been going on from the beginning, I'm guessing the beginning or synthesis of Battle Shonen. I don't know if it's getting old yet, but it's fun to see how creative they get in order to create that sort of shot where they showcase all the characters. Two more I want to touch on before we end the segment. First one is Bokuben OP 1 and 2. There have been two seasons of Bokuben or Bokutachi wa Benkyouka Deki Nai, We Never Learn. This season, or 2019 as a whole, one in this season and one in the spring season after Quince. That's how I remember it. Both OPs, I think, are so cute, and I believe these were also voice acted. They have a lovely rhythm to them. It's not really about the OP, if I'm honest. This is showing my bias towards this anime, as I try to fit it in almost every time I get to talk about a harem anime at all, or just this season as a whole. Bokuben, it oozes happiness, and happiness is what we need in anime as well. I'm fine with having these more serious-esque narratives, but I think sometimes it's nice to have something that's just relaxed, and you don't have to turn your brain on too hard to watch. But it's also impressive and provides some great music, some great comedy. The music is slightly repetitive in Bokuben, but I feel that that's like a lot of comedy anime. I don't feel like you have an amazingly large OST full of profound piano tracks and all of that sort of stuff. I appreciate Bokuben not only for its music, but for everything it's done for me in the weekends. When I'm bored out of my mind, I can just turn on Bokuben and chill out for 20 minutes or so, both this season and in the spring season. So that's my tribute to Bokuben, not only because of its OPs, but just what it's done for me over the past few months. And this final one is a bit more of a cheat because it's not an actual OP, but movies don't really have OPs. This is Leo's theme as a part of Promare, the movie which I spoke about last week. Leo's theme, also known as Superfly, this is peak dramatic. So I know Giono's theme is very dramatic and everyone picks up on that. It's very in your face and whatever. But this theme is on another level in the way that the drums and the strikes are so out there. It's so bold and furious. I kind of have a hard time comparing, although I don't need to compare, maybe just because they have EO at the end of both their names, but I kind of have a hard time thinking that maybe Giotto's theme is slightly undermined in this one, because Leo's theme is peak Leo. If you've seen the movie, you know that he makes some pretty cool entrances throughout, not even just at the beginning. I wouldn't even say his entrance at the beginning is that epic, but I'll leave it there because I know not everybody has seen the movie. However, Leo and that theme work really well. I didn't even know initially it was Leo's theme because it's in the trailers. They kind of treat it like an OP, and if this movie could have one, it definitely should be it because it represents this entire movie and sort of Nakashima as a writer and the script he sort of put forward as being not whack. I want to describe it as whack, but whack in a good way. Okay, let's leave it at that. Whack in a good way. If this episode wasn't called The Unskippables or Unskippable, I would be calling this episode whack or something like that, just whack narrative. Anyway, not to get sidetracked, Nakashima and the music, it all adds together. It's about having fun. It's boom pow. It's everything. I can't really describe it. However, you should listen to it yourself and tell me what you think. It's just full of potential and sass. Sass is the word. It's very sassy and over the top, and that is probably the main reason why I like this opening. So that is my very long honorable mentions list for OPs of this year. This episode is getting quite listy, but I'm going to get down to probably my top three I said this wasn't a tier list, I basically lied. These are the ones that I like slightly more, but I'm going to be talking about those in a bit more detail in the rest of today's episode. So that has been the honorable mention section for this week. Let's get back to the show. Back to the show. So we've discussed some of the OPs that I'm quite the fan of this season, and we've also spoken about some of the ones that I thought were really good, but maybe not my favorites. So now let's return back to the OPs that I think really made this year special. The first one that I have on my list is Doro OP1, and that is Kayen by Ziovachi. You may know Ziovachi as Queen Bee, that's just the name that they go by in Japan. Ziovachi Dororo OP1. This OP is special, honestly. This OP is really good because it started off the year and it set these standards very high. And I still think that there are a lot of OPs that don't particularly meet this standard. To say that there is a standard is, again, quite subjective and maybe a bit elitist of me, and I don't know. But it put the bar really high because the production values in this opening, I think, are probably some of the best we've seen in a long time. The OP as a whole mixes sort of Osamu Tezuka's olden style that I think came through in the original Dororo series when he first created it. It had that sort of, well, obviously because of the time, it was kind of in black and white and quite desaturated. Dororo doesn't decide to ditch that completely and full color in a full color rendition. No, it's a bit more casual on that. And if anything, it's this sort of sepia tone. It looks like parchment. It still has its roots back in the times, more ancient Japan or more feudal Japan, let's say that, to be historically accurate. It still has that feel that it's based and set within feudal Japan. Queen Bee, obviously, are no strangers, or I hope they're no strangers to you, providing some fabulous vocals for this opening. This is a special opening because I feel like it had to perform, or it was one that would be very nice to perform, as this is more than simply an anime that is a remake. This is one that it's a almost tribute to one of the founding fathers of the anime medium as we know it, Osamu Tezuka. Queen Bee doesn't disappoint by having some great dynamic and vocal range throughout it. The high notes are high and they're crisp. There's control among the vocals. I don't want to get into singing stuff here because I don't sing, as I proved early in the episode. With this being said, as I was talking about sort of the Osamu Tezuka stuff, there's an amount of modernity, or that sounds kind of philosophical. I mean, there's a modern feel to it. It feels still very 2019 by the beats, and it kind of having a bit more of an EDM electronic feel to it, as opposed to the former opening, which felt a lot like its time. It felt very entrenched within feudal Japan, although Osamu Tezuka obviously wasn't based within feudal Japan at that time. It felt old. It felt like a product of Osamu Tezuka and his time. This OP, or Dororo OP1, feels like a product of our time, which I can appreciate. Catering towards an audience now is sort of just as important as being respective to an audience back then, and that kind of merges the audiences together. Not particularly everyone will be there to have seen this opening, but I'm proud to say that there was someone there, or a group of people that were able to put something together that would honor those people that didn't get to see it. The cinematography on this opening, or just at least from a visual perspective, this opening is stellar. So I'm mostly referring to the arcing shots that go around Hyakumaru and Dororo in that sort of middle phase of the song, where the high notes are really high by Queen Bee. That, I think, is what anime is all about. And yeah, that also does sound quite elitist of me, I'll be honest. But it's capturing those moments, capturing the true essence of characters. That is done within this opening. You feel how these characters feel. They feel pain. They feel regret. They feel connected only within those three shots. Let's not think about, even if we minimize this to those three shots and that one note, that is the pure essence of what a character is. It's feel, it's emotion. That comes through directly within those three shots. And then there's the amazing moment, which is when Hyakkimaru just goes crazy and sword fights everyone at the same time. Again, that sort of arcing shot, that feeling of one versus everybody else, portrayed very well. I don't want to ramble on for too long, as I have already. Possibly a bit of a whack thing that I spoke about before, I'm not going to lie. I think I'm plucking things from the sky here. But I do think that overall, Dororo is, or its OP anyway, is possibly a masterpiece. I don't really like using that word. Masterpiece, I think, is a bit of a stretch sometimes. But when you think of what this OP represents and what it approaches, what it's using and utilizing, I can't really use any words that are less than that, because this is something that Osamu Tezuka didn't get to see, which is a shame. And this is how they repay him. They repay him with a beautiful music score and a beautiful composition that is this opening. Next opening. This is one that I've been speaking about a bit. I don't think I spoke about it too much on the podcast recently, but once you hear this one, you'll be able to deduce, if you've again been listening, which one I'm going to speak about last. This one is the second of the three that have really stood out to me this year. And that is 99.9 by the Mob Choir for Mob Psycho 100 second season, or Mob Psycho 102. There was a time after I watched this show this year, I was very tempted to say that this is the OP of the year. There was one that came and kind of stole the spot, but either way, this is, if anything, maybe I'm gonna put Joint as my quote unquote favorite anime OP of this year. I'm just gonna spoil it now. Assassin's Pride, Mob 2 and Dororo OP 1. I kind of had a bit of self-realization after talking about Dororo, how much I really do like that opening. But on topic to Mob 2, Mob 2 is, again, stellar. It's full of life and action. Similarly to the Dororo OP, I think it's quite important to kind of show the values of the show and what it's trying to sort of bring forward from a thematic perspective, as opposed to just an audiovisual one. Mob does that quite well, partially quite literally in text, by saying your life is your own, which is one of the main sort of themes of Mob. It's about autonomy and how you utilize it in relation to other people, and what place does that give you in a society when you're, say, more autonomous or have a degree of power over somebody else simply because of your genetics or the fact that you're an Esper, whatever. Mob 2 brings that forward, but also it brings to the table this idea of sort of craziness and just wackiness that the show has always had. The first OP does that quite well, but I think this OP does it even better. Lego Men, or quote-unquote Lego Men, or very popular plastic building brick toys men of Mob and the rest of the gang, featuring right at the front. I don't know why it's here, but I think it just goes down to this idea, similarly to what referring to when it came to Nakashima. Why not? And your life is your own, so why the heck not put Lego Men right at the beginning? Because we don't care. We do what we want within our own boundaries and within our own limits. I also do like the mix and voices, so it's not a complete male song and it's not a complete female song. At the beginning, you have the male voice, and then as the song gets more intense, you have the female voice. I think the female voice cuts through the sort of sound a bit more, which I do appreciate quite a lot. And then there's the blow up. You can take that as a Mob Psycho 100 pun. I don't mean it as one though, but the blow up being the epic fight, or the fight that comes from the world domination arc. Loads of things going on at the same time. You have people bobbing in and out of the camera with the different members from the division. Craziness, absolute anarchy. That's what I like about it though, particularly the explosion scene, or not even scene, the shot of which has the explosion, and then there's the movement of the camera sort of from the explosion and around the building, and then Sho comes out from the smoke with his massive Rasengan, not really a Rasengan, but you know what I mean. That is so seamless and put together so well. This is an OP that, this goes back to a theme that I spoke about very early in the podcast, and that is about intentionality. It's thought out, it's all strung together. It doesn't feel as if there are, you know, shot, OP over. There's a tendency to do that. But with these sort of top OPs, or these OPs that I think are kind of the better ones of this year, one thing I think they do really well is they try to glue everything together. So Dororo OP, the visuals and all that felt really connected It didn't feel sort of grounded within different parts, and Obi has all the rights to do that. But I think my favorite one seemed to be all sort of connected, and that orange sort of environment, quote unquote orange environment, where a lot of the fighting in Sakuga goes down, that his mastery, that is how you connect such shots together. The explosion into Sho jumping out to then the last part, but that transitions quite well as well. It goes through his head, the main antagonist's head. I forgot his name, honestly. It's that seamless transition that I'm quite the fan of. They also just timed the Sakuga really well. So they put the main sort of fighting in Sakuga. This is a thing that goes across loads of OPs. So I'm not saying Mob is the only one that does this, but they time the Sakuga really well to come at, or the main Sakuga to come at, obviously when there's the chorus of the song. It's really effective because they cut it really well to the extent where it feels really matched up, so it doesn't feel disjointed as some feel. Feels like there's build up, bit of cutting, fight, cut. This feels like build up, connected, end. And that's sort of what I like and look for in an OP, not directly like that. I'm not intentionally looking for, oh, this cut, this shot, oh my gosh. But when I look back at it, these are the things that impress me the most. It's these details and attention to it that I'm really impressed with. And now the final opening for this podcast. This has been a bit of a long podcast, I'm not going to lie. Assassin's Pride. I never knew that I'd actually be speaking about a newcomer opening for my favorite of the year. I was thinking it would be Mob, and I would just have to explain how it's not really a newcomer, but I still have to give it top credit. But I'm discussing a new anime this time. This is Assassin's Pride. This comes from the fall season, or this season, if you're listening to it at the current time. This comes from the fall season, and it is pretty damn good. It mixes the art core sort of style with the EDM style, has quite a stylistic look to it. It's not really based in locations, which I'm quite the fan of. It reminds me a lot of something you get from a Monogatari opening. I think it was in the Crunchyroll France comments section. They said something that it looks kind of like a Shaft opening, and I agree completely. Shaft has this tendency to style things up. I know that there's a lot of creative freedom amongst Shaft's staff, and I get the same vibe from it. It's free, but it has a style that not many would go for, because you have to get the elements like the text right, the different environments right, or that they're not really even environments. What do you do in an OP like that? You don't show off locations, you don't show off the themes, which is something that it might be lacking. It doesn't really portray the thematics, but it's pure style, and who doesn't want good style? The OP is sort of broken up into about three phases. So there's the beginning, which is sort of these unfinished, I say unfinished, not in the way that like you think, not in terms of unfinished animations, no, it's intentionally unfinished, and then they're completed, or the movements are completed in the third half. And then the second half is kind of like a build-up sort of section where, okay, we do get a bit more of the thematic element in regards to the characters and the main character even, but it's a bit more dramatic than that. It's sort of building up this idea of becoming better and improving while just getting some letterbox shots of the different characters within this show. Reminds me a lot of those Darling in the Franxx endings. There are a ton of those, and it kind of reminds me of one of those, but maybe slightly differed up. The song is also one that's really catchy. It's Share the Light by Run Girls Run. I'm not amazingly familiar with the band. However, it's a really good song, and I'm really happy that it exists, I guess. I've listened to this. This is going to make me sound like an addict, but I've listened to this probably over 30 times within the space of a week. Maybe not this week. I've slowed down, sort of maybe exponentially slowed down, but it's so good because it matches everything so well. So if we get into that sort of technical aspect, we get a lot of synchronization between the music and the visuals, which is, I feel, something that we don't do so much of in openings. Sometimes there's a tendency to, from what it looks like anyway, visuals and audio are slightly separate. This sort of the video to the audio. The two in Assassin's Pride feel linked together. They feel interconnected. So for example, when we take one of the main characters that lip syncs one of the lines in the song, which can be done quite easily. But I do think that it's kind of showing I'm paying attention here. That's kind of what the studio is saying, or the people that have produced this OP are saying. And then the synchronization between the staff, or the paladin staff sort of spinning around, and then the drums at the same time. Probably one of my favorite shots in this, but also there's another shot that I like where we get one of the sort of secondary main characters. They finish off the animation. So before she turns about 90 degrees, and then they finish that shot off by making her turn the full 180, and then they push her sort of closer into the frame. It looks beautiful. They really thought about how they crafted this together. And I know we're sort of on the verge of wrapping up here, so I don't want to push too hard and analyze every single element here. However, I just want to say that this OP has been one that, again, defines kind of what anime is all about. But okay, maybe not that, but it defines, or at least showcases, what anime can do. How creative can those guys in Japan really get? They are proving so much that they can do so much. And this leads me on to my final point here. And that is, anime can do so much more. There is so much more to anime at the moment. And things aren't slowing down. If anything, things are getting more creative. There is so much more anime and openings to be made. I think that is going to wrap it up for the main part of the show. I've waffled on for quite a while trying to figure out why I like these openings. Some of my explanations are probably a bit less tangible than others, but hopefully you do get the gist of what I'm trying to say. I'm just in awe as to how much I really do like these openings. They bring a lot to the table, all of them, not even just the ones in the main parts. But in the honorable mentions as well, they bring so much value to these openings, or these anime rather, and that is the summary as to why I appreciate them so much. Anyway, before we end the show, let's just go to the In the Moment segment for this week. I think I want to keep it quite brief for today's episode. I'm just going to talk about one thing, and that is that I have been continuing my journey through Berserk. I have actually engaged, or have completed, the Black Swordsman arc of Berserk. That is possibly what people would, I'm not too sure because I'm not a core Berserk fan to know this sort of stuff, but I believe you can define the Black Swordsman arc kind of to the prelude to the entirety of Berserk. It introduces us to some concepts, introduces us to our main character, Guts, or Gats, and I'm not too sure because of translations. Introduces us to those characters, also introduces us to Griffith, which is a quite prominent character. I don't want to get into spoilers here, so I'll slow down a bit. The Black Swordsman arc, how do I feel about it? I like it. I liked it, even. I've heard that the Black Swordsman arc isn't particularly everyone's taste. Yeah, you can set it for any show. I've heard that the Black Swordsman arc isn't within everybody's tastes. That can apply to anything, yes, that can apply to any sort of story arc or piece of media. But the Black Swordsman arc isn't one that doesn't, it's not one that strikes well with everyone that's read Berserk, even if they've gone on to love it. I like it because it's quite different to most openings, and when I say openings, I mean sort of the opening to a manga and how it sort of begins. Berserk begins with an event, or it begins with not really knowing what the heck is going on. I prefer that to this tendency for sometimes manga, and I say tendency quite a lot in the show, but I think sometimes the manga leans towards being too introductory, or some manga tend to be too introductory. It's this obligation to introduce all your main characters in this really easy and open way by sort of playing out the situation and saying, this is me, or this is this person. We kind of just learn by getting involved right in the chaos, right from the beginning. The first panel, I didn't see that coming at all. The first panel is interesting, for sure. And as you progress, you kind of just learn that Gats, or Guts, is this really, I don't want to say woke, but just really rough, and I'm going to say edgy. I don't really like saying edgy, but I'm going to say edgy character. I feel like he's the actual definition of edgy. Some people's definition of edgy is a bit whack, I think. But I would call Guts, or Gats, on the sort of verge of edgy. He is very different to anything I've really seen, and that is why I'm quite the fan of the Black Swordsman arc. I'm in the Golden Age right now, arguably the best manga arc of all time. We'll find out, and I'm willing to test that. This has kind of been a bit of a repeat of last week's In The Moment segment. I kind of want to keep it short. I know I said I was going to speak about TK. Okay, I might as well speak about a bit about TK. I've been listening to some TK music recently, and I'm enjoying it. It doesn't really have anything to do with anime, although obviously he did make the tracks Unravel and Catharsis and Abnormalize. He also did Red from Into the Spider-Verse. I like those a lot, but I've just been discovering his music on his sort of topic channel on YouTube. When I listen to that music, I feel like I can visualize fight scenes and I can see anime develop. I feel like I can come up with ideas for anime by listening to that sort of music because it's so rough and gritty, but in a beautiful way. It's sort of this art or beauty of imperfection and asymmetry. Ironically, he has a song called Asymmetry, which is quite funny in my opinion. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for this week's In The Moment segment. I've had quite a lot of fun throughout today's show anyway. So let's get back to the show, a quick amount of closing thoughts, and then we will wrap up today's episode. And with that, if you have enjoyed today's show, or if you have enjoyed today's episode or any of the episodes, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do listen to shows. Review it. Give us the nice number, the lovely 5, and tell us how you think about it. Also, it shows me how I'm doing as well, even if it's not the 5, which is perfectly fine. Shows me what I'm doing, and I can make the show a better one. As you can tell, I'm quite passionate when it comes to anime OPs. Maybe not in a way that's good for speech, because I've gone on quite a few weird tangents referring to these anime and their openings. However, I've had a lot of fun in today's episode. I do think that OPs are only getting better from here. I don't think that it's quite a hard one anyway. I don't think you can say that OPs are getting better or OPs are getting worse. However, I do think that 2019 has proven that anime and anime OPs are not going anywhere. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing, and they're here for us to enjoy. Thank you for listening to this amazingly waffly episode of Guess in the Mecha. That has been episode 21. Hopefully you had a good time basically just listening to my thought process as to how these OPs work and why I really do appreciate each and every one of them. Next episode will be the decade review, so that will be maybe a slightly longer episode, I'm not too sure about that, but it will be looking at the various anime that I've discovered throughout the decade. I haven't been watching anime for a decade, but the anime that come from different years within the decade, looking at those and what I enjoy about those, looking at some interesting moments throughout and having a good time. We're approaching Christmas, and I've said this on the previous podcast, but I just want to reiterate that there won't be, or I hope there won't be, any slowing down between now and the Christmas period. So your anime analysis and reviews will stay here on Get in the Mecha throughout December. Anyway, thank you for listening. Have a lovely day, week, evening, morning, whatever you're doing. Have a great time, and I'll see you hopefully in the next episode. Goodbye. The music in this production goes as follows. Go Lucky by Chasers Gaming. Difference by Chasers Gaming. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. And 8-Bit Title Screen by Joth.